Hi, Tony.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, yeah, Andrew Snyder. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Almost the most wonderful time of the year, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, very, very busy run through all the tournaments. The Pella team that I thought got to state didn't get there and vice versa. So, you know what? Hey, we're doing okay here.
Yep.
I was there in Iowa City Saturday. I was homesick Monday, had a 102 fever, couldn't go. I was really frustrated, but hey, we're here. We made it.
Yep.
So appreciate you taking some time. We'll just kind of focus on 3A today, talk a little bit about some of your expertise. We haven't done it this way before. We also have a new show, and at some point I'll actually get to meet you, and we can actually talk in person. But in the meantime, let's talk some 3A basketball if you're ready.
Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. Andrew Snyder on KRLS Radio. We are here today to talk to Tony Rowe. He's a lead scout for Prep Hoops Iowa and Mr. Iowa Basketball when it comes to covering every corner of the state and the Class 3A tournament coming up this week. A huge opportunity for the Pella Dutch in a field of eight. First of all, Tony, before we talk about Class 3A, I think you just posted earlier today as we're talking about how your preseason rankings didn't exactly match up. It was kind of the year of the upset, really 1A through 4A. Your thoughts about how things have shaken out ahead of the tournament this week for all four classes.
Yeah, it really was kind of a crazy year around the state in all four classes, really. I think it's the worst my preseason rankings have ever done, but it should make for a really fun week next week at the state tournament. So don't really know what to expect heading into Des Moines, but it should be a fun week to watch it unfold.
And maybe the class with either the most upsets, at least versus the Iowa High School Athletic Association rankings or whatever it might be, was Class 3A, where you certainly have a lot of teams that did not maybe factor into when we built the sub-state predictions and all those other things coming up. In fact, only one returning team from last year's tournament, your defending champions in Bondurant, who upset ADM on the way there. When you first saw the Class 3A tournament, what was your initial response and what were some of the things that you saw shake out from those sub-state tournament brackets?
Yeah, you know, 3A has just kind of been a mess all year. I do another podcast every week with Chris Larson and Tom Betts, who serve on the 3A rankings committee, and I know that they were just dumbfounded every week on how to rank them. So going into sub-state, I think any of the top like four or five seeds in any given sub-state you could have made a good argument for coming out. So I think it actually ended up being a little chalkier throughout the sub-states than I expected it to be. But yeah, going in this week, all eight teams, I think you could make a good argument for having a real chance to win it all, which I don't think you can say every year.
Well, certainly. And right, last year, Bondurant entered the tournament undefeated. They were probably the favorite. That played out that way. This year, like you said, the eight teams that are up there have all, some of them have played each other. Some of them have already beat each other, as is the case with Pella. When you look at these eight teams and their tournament journey, obviously Waverly, Sherrock, and Decorah have been kind of on the radar of everybody all year. But then the next six were at all different points in the rankings. What do you think that's going to play out when these teams actually have to play each other, especially when so many of these teams have already played each other?
Right. Yeah. It's going to come down to a lot of, you know, who's playing well, who has the good game plan on that given night. Obviously Decorah and Waverly Shellrock have kind of been a cut above the rest of the field throughout the year. But I mean, I've seen Davenport Assumption play a number of times this year. And I think when they're clicking, they're probably the most talented team in the class. Bondurant obviously has some experience from their experience last year and is tested coming through the Raccoon River as are the Dutch and the Little Hawkeye. So I think it's going to come down to a lot of matchups and, you know, kind of who shoots it well on that night, which is never an easy thing to do at Wells Fargo with the difficult shooting background that kids aren't really used to playing in.
Here with Tony Rowe, he's a lead scout at Prep Hoops Iowa as we're discussing the 3A state tournament. And Tony, you see basketball of all levels corner to corner. And as you said, you've seen a lot of these 3A teams, whether in person or on video. We talked about Decorah. We talked about Waverly Shellrock. They're pretty obviously the top two seeds and have been for most of the year. But from there, a lot of teams we don't get to see a lot of. MOC Floyd Valley beating Helan to get to this bracket. As you mentioned, Assumption really dominating that eastern part of the state to get in. Ballard coming out of that Raccoon River Conference, which by far was the deepest of pure 3A teams. When you see each of these teams throughout the course of the season, what's it like to circle back now at the state tournament and do your prep, maybe having seen Ballard in December versus now, and how do you get yourself ready for this full week knowing that you're focused on all four classes?
it's a lot of fun to kind of look back from what, especially a young team like Ballard, you know, their best player is a sophomore, but, and they have some seniors mixed in there, but they're kids who didn't really have much varsity experience. So when I watched them play in December, they certainly didn't look like a state tournament team to me, but I see them play again in February against Clear Lake in their sub-state final, and they looked like a team that's certainly capable of winning it all. So it's really nice to see just kind of throughout the season how these kids progress across all four classes, not just in 3A.
Well, and then, of course, again, in Class 3A, as we kind of reshift our focus here, you know, a team like Bondurant, you know, we've seen schools like this before, but it's been so long since Class 3A has had a repeat champion. Obviously, Little Hawkeye had that run, and then, of course, defending champions Bondurant. When you look at that team in particular, they're on the other side of Pella's bracket if they were to upset Waverly-Shellrock. What about the defending champs are you thinking about, knowing that so many of the key contributors from that team are gone, but so many of these guys were on the ride with the team, so to speak, last year?
Right, yeah. And obviously, one of the most important positions in basketball, but especially in high school basketball, is that point guard spot. And they bring back Cole Miller from that team, who had a great week last year at the state tournament, helping lead them to that title. He's had a really nice junior year, and I think having that kind of veteran presence in the backcourt can be really beneficial in these big games. And they also have a senior wing named Tanner Berggren, who's had a fantastic year. You know, he was one of the most productive players I saw over the summer, really developed his game. He was kind of just a bench player for them last year, but has really stepped into a thriving starring role for the Jays this year. And averaging about 22 a game, can shoot it from anywhere. And those two complement each other really well. And, you know, as you mentioned, they're playing against Colby Collison and Jackson Freed every day last year in practice. And that certainly made these kids all better. And I think that really came to roost come February when tournament time hit, and they did not back down from anybody on their way to Des Moines.
Here at Tony Rowe, lead scout with Prep Hoops Iowa, and again on all sorts of podcasts, including Shooter's Touch. As he mentioned, a good buddy of Chris Larson and Doug Deers, so names here in Pella we hear a lot, of course, whether they're rivals or friends. And you mentioned the chance at a repeat, and really with this being such a wide-open tournament, it kind of gets back to a team even like who we're locally talking about here with Pella, who we're following. Obviously, they played Waverly-Shellrock a few weeks ago. Waverly played really, really well, scored 86 points, shot, I think, 70% from the field in that game. When you look at Pella's chances, obviously, they've got to get through maybe the best team in the tournament here to start. When you look at a team like Pella, what do you think is their path to a finals? And what are the things that, from you know about the Dutch on the outside looking in, that they need to do well to knock off either a really good Waverly-Shellrock team and then the other Dutch, so to speak, or that Bondurant for our team we just talked about?
Yeah, obviously a kind of difficult draw for the Dutch here, getting the explosive team from Waverly-Shellrock who can put five kids on the floor who can really shoot it from three. I think they were the best three-point shooting team in the state across all four classes this year. So defending the three-point line will obviously be big for the Dutch. And just, you know, keeping everybody in front of them. The Gohawks have some quick guards who can blow by teams if they're not closing out correctly and rotating defensively. So that's going to be a big point of emphasis, I think, here in preparation for Waverly-Shellrock in the quarterfinals is just how do you slow down that explosive offense and keep them from either getting to the rim or getting wide open looks from three. If they can get through that game, I think the bracket can certainly open up for them. You know, I think the winner of that Waverly-Shellrock Pella game, I would probably favor in the semifinals against either MLC or Bondurant. I think that quarterfinal with the Gohawks and the Dutch is going to be a battle, and I expect it to be much closer than that 14-point spread was just a few weeks ago.
and you cover more basketball than anybody in the state of Iowa, at least the high school level. When you see a team twice in a season that's not in your conference, you know, it could go obviously a bunch of different ways. Have you seen this kind of scenario play out before where there's a favorite team, they play in the regular season, and then they come back around and all of a sudden the underdog's better? I mean, it could go all different ways, I think, is what's important to remind our audience. But when you've seen this kind of before, what's that like for a team? Could it be deflating for a Dutch team, or do you think it's maybe motivation to say, hey, we can get them next time?
Yeah, I think they could use that as motivation for sure. You know, that was I think it was a 7-point game going into the fourth quarter. So they certainly know that they can play with Waverly. And you put a team that's very reliant on the 3-point shot into Wells Fargo Arena, and you never know what's going to happen. So I think Pella and their coaching staff and their players should certainly be encouraged, and hopefully have a little bit better game plan on how to stop Waverly from getting to the rim as routinely as they did in that game. But I think there's probably a lot of positives that they can take away from getting a second shot at a team like Waverly Shellrock.
And then, like you said, the real fascinating thing on the other side of the bracket is a team like Davenport Assumption, who really just completely dominated their sub-state and a bunch of ranked teams along the way. Obviously, a very good Ballard team that you talked about, young and up and coming. Decorah, probably the favorite, you know, in the sense of overall in the tournament, at least just based on ranking and some of the games they've played. A Williamsburg team that I still don't know how much we know about because of how they've played, but they played really other half in their sub-state to get to this spot as well. When you look at that other half of the bracket, to me, it jumps out Assumption and Decorah, but that doesn't necessarily mean those two teams could win. It's just that close nature of 3A again.
Right. Yeah. Decorah, I mean, obviously has been kind of head and shoulders, I guess right up the beat in the class, balanced, explosive, the team to beat in the class, balanced, explosive offensive team that can just go on a 15-0 run on you in the blink with Williamsburg, but they'll certainly have their hands full with Williamsburg, who is led by an Iowa football commit, Derek Wieskopf, who's a fantastic athlete, who's, if Wieskopf's able, the Vikings to match up with in that quarterfinal game. So if Wieskopf's able to get it going, you know, and that's a tight game going into the fourth quarter, maybe Decorah gets a little tight, and anything could happen there. And then Assumption is, as I mentioned, I think probably the most talented team top to bottom in 3A. They're led by Navon Shabazz, who's the top sophomore in the state. Recently picked up offers from Iowa and Iowa State, so he's the type of kind of explosive 6'4 scoring guard who can take over a game with his athleticism and talent, and is going to be the type of on a regular base player that a lot of teams in 3A just you don't see on a regular basis. So that can be, you know, kind of difficult to adjust to when you just see them for 32 minutes.
Well, again, this 3A bracket should be a whole lot of fun. Tony Rowe is with Prep Hoops Iowa. He's their lead scout for the state of Iowa. And quickly, I wanted to let our listeners, they may have seen me retweet you before. They may have seen you, you know, heard your conversations again with our local heroes, Doug Deers and company, or even talked to Chris Larson. Let our listeners know a little bit about what Prep Hoops Iowa does and how you get yourself ready for the state tournament by following all of these players, mainly on their recruitment journey, but at the same time watching them grow throughout their high school seasons.
Yeah, so Prep Hoops is a company that started up in Minneapolis about 11 years ago now, and we, unlike a Rivals or a 24/7 that focuses in only on, you know, the top 100 players in the country, our design is to get coverage to any player around their given state that has aspirations of playing college basketball, whether that's at the Power 5 level all the way down to the D3 level. So just kind of getting exposure for as many kids as possible is our company goal. And in doing so, I get out to games almost every night during the high school season, watch replays of streams on the weekends to kind of get my eyes on as many different kids and as many different teams as possible throughout the year. So I like to think that I probably know more about high school basketball around the state than just about anybody, but you know, that's the job, and it's something that I love doing, and just want to get these kids as much exposure as possible so that they can continue to pursue their dreams.
And then how many gyms, I know you've tweeted about it before, but how many different Iowa high school gyms have you been to now?
We are up to 110, I believe, okay, at last count.
And how many left to go then?
That would leave about 240, I think. So we're about a third of the way through the state.
Okay. And remind me, how I imagined you've been to Pella High or Pella Christian then?
I have been to Pella. Pella Christian is still on the to-do list for
okay.
me. Okay. So.
Well, and let's briefly mention those Eagles. Obviously, they got upset on their way to the tournament against the Regina team. From your eyes, what did you see in that sub-state final if you were able to watch it? Because I know that you've followed Tyson and Dane in particular a long time over their 4 years. What did you see happen there from your eyes about the PC game?
Yeah, I think, you know, Regina's a very well-coached team. Paul Rehnquist came over from Iowa City West and previously won a state title at Mount Pleasant. He had Regina really ready to go against that PC zone. They got their big kid, Drew Streb, kind of into the middle of their zone, and he was able to knock down 15-footers pretty consistently. And when you give an underdog like Regina was in that game some life going into the fourth quarter, things can kind of get away from you, and I think Regina did a good job, especially on Tyson DeVries there. Defensively, they kind of really limited him, especially in the first half, and kind of took him out of the game. And Dane Keating stepped up, played really well, but I think Regina, if those two teams played 10 times, Pella Christian probably wins 7 of them. It just wasn't their night at Liberty on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's kind of the we have both sides of the coin here in Pella. The heartbreak for the Eagles, but obviously the excitement for the Dutch. Once again, that is Tony Rowe. He's a lead scout for Prep Hoops Iowa and the expert on all things Iowa high school basketball, giving us a nice preview of the 3A tournament for the Pella Dutch again, who play Waverly Shell Rock coming up on Tuesday. 6:45, our coverage begins on KRLS. Tony, great to talk to you. I look forward to hopefully one day finally meeting you in person and talking some hoops then. Enjoy the tournament. I know you're busy wire to wire all 5 days, so get some rest, get ready for that tournament, and hopefully you have a great ride.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.